Reform is a verb that basically means to make changes to something in order to improve it. Things that might need reforming. Our healthcare system. Maybe, yeah. Is our current system dysfunctional? Are health insurance companies really looking out for the best of their clients? Healthcare might need some reform. Education reform. Is our current methodology the best to just make kids memorize things and then test them? And I know that's a gross generalization, but there's many who would be advocating for a large education reform. What about a political reform? Is our current model the best? Are our current career politicians really looking out for the best of the people? What about social reform? Is there systematic racism within our country? Are the rich just getting richer and the poor being left behind? These are all areas where people would put forth an argument, potentially, for changes being made in order to improve these systems, these organizations. What about Christian faith? Does our Christian faith, are we in need of reformation? When should we push to make big systematic changes within our Christian faith? When is reformation truly needed? Are churches in America dying because we're missing something crucial? And what if there were new ways? What if there were new revelations that pointed the way forward for the church, promising fresh words from God and big moves from Him? Many find this idea of a faith reformation very alluring. And within it, they don't see the deceptive, hidden, deceitful teachings. Today, we are going to talk about a worldwide and fast-growing movement within the Christian faith. I want to see the dangers of it, and I want to be able to identify some of the red flags and the false teachings that we would have soft ears and be able to call out where there are things that don't line up with biblical Christianity, where there's maybe reformation taking place that isn't good reform. So let us pray today that we have ears to hear and let God's word shape and through his Holy Spirit guide us in truth as we desire to hold fast to the one true gospel. And as we say, sanctify us in the truth, Lord, your word is truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, there are so many things in this world that can cause us to be discouraged and to slip up. But Lord, you have given us your word. You have given us the presence of your Spirit to guide us in that word, that we might know you, that we might know your great and precious promises to us, that we might hold fast to this hope that we have, that Terry mentioned, that one day every tear will be wiped away, every wrong will be righted, and things will be made new. But until then, Lord, may we hold fast to the gospel and hold fast to the biblical truth that we have, that you have given us. Lord, may you be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Today is sermon number 3 in a shorter sermon series called Another Gospel. The Bible, in many places, identifies the danger of false teachings being present and false prophets coming into the world, popping up from within the church, and distorting core doctrines and leading many astray. Two of the core ones that we've been visiting over and over, Romans 16, verses 17 and 18 says this, "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who would cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive." And again, that end point I emphasize often. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. I want to be familiar with God's word and soft to his Spirit's leading, that I might be able to identify where smooth talkers with their flattery are distorting the gospel and deceiving those who aren't biblically literate and are open to just a wave of teaching that might sound attractive. This is also Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Paul says this to those in Galatia. In context, it was those Judaizers that were coming in and saying, yes, the gospel, but also let's fit in the old ways, right? And Paul says this at the beginning of his letter, confronting this. I am astonished that you're quickly deserting him who called you in grace, in the grace of Christ, and you're turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Very bold words from Paul. Last week, we looked into progressive Christianity, and we saw that just as Judaizers in Paul's day wanted to add the old ways into Christianity, so today there's a group that wants to add the new understandings, culturally speaking, the new practice, understood practices that are good. They want to add those into Christianity. The core error that we pulled out was these people are letting orthopraxy, meaning right perceived right behaviors, guide our understanding of what it means to love God, instead of letting orthodoxy, which is right belief or right doctrine, be our foundation. Today, we're going to look at another false teaching that has sprung up and crept into our churches. And the title of this false teaching is NAR, N-A-R, NAR. So you might ask, what is NAR? Sounds like someone in Hawaii that is on top of a wave, right? It's gnarly, shred the gnar. What is gnar? Does it exist, or is it, as some would say, just a boogeyman out there that some critics are making too much of? I want to say from the outset that there has been debate. Literally, there has been heated debate, like 3-hour-long roundtable conference debates, whether NAR actually exists, or if it's the boogeyman that some Christians are just afraid of, and we're just looking under rocks for heretics to call out. I attempt to use quotes from, quote, NAR leaders, and I hope to explain that a little bit. But I also want to preface this. Not all people within the charismatic or Pentecostal circles believe all of these things. And yet these things are becoming more mainstream in charismatic and Pentecostal circles. So my goal today is to highlight some of these ideas and practices that are central to the movement, and here I go with my air quotes again. It's going to become my new norm, apparently. So that we are aware of these red flags. So first off, what is NAR? Well, simply put, it's the new apostolic reformation. It is new in the sense that there are fresh revelations that have been experienced since about the 1980s, but more specifically 1998, the early 2000s, that really have allowed this movement to gain momentum. But there have been fresh revelations and experiences that have birthed this movement. It is apostolic in the sense that the core of this movement suggests that there are modern day acting apostles and prophets that God is especially blessing to lead and guide his church into this new era. So that just as there were apostles at one time within the church, this movement is saying that God has revealed himself to special people and is unleashing this new movement that is going to be led by these apostles and these apostle-prophet teams. It is a reformation in the sense that many see the exciting things happening from within this movement and are becoming critical of the old way we did church. The ways that didn't have apostles speaking the words of God afresh and anew, and prophets that are receiving downloads from God to be able to speak the church into this next season of ministry. Many say without those being the critical leading pieces of the church, guiding the church with authority, all the other churches are lifeless and dying as they don't have God's appointed primary leaders leading them. So again, this is a fear tactic. Get on board or just be jealous and be left out with a weak and dying church. Here's a quote from Chris Vellaton, who is one of the main prophets. And again, I'm not going to air quote everything for you, but just know that my terminology is going to be used loosely today. One of the prophets from Bethel Church in Redding, California, which is one of the main fast-growing churches that is in connection with other churches and is pushing this movement. This is a quote from Chris back in 1998. He says, "In 1998, I was lying on the floor and praying one morning when the Lord spoke to me so clearly that it stunned me. He said," and so again, this is him speaking directly on behalf of God. This is a word for the global church to know what God is really doing. "He said to me," and again, so clearly that it stunned me. "He said, there is a new epic season emerging in this hour, much like the Protestant Reformation. There is another Reformation that will unearth the very foundation of Christianity." We're unearthing, just like the apostles were the foundation of the church, we are going to be unearthing again the foundation of Christianity. "This move of the Spirit will absolutely redefine your ideologies and philosophies concerning what the church is and how she should function." I asked him, "What will this transition look like?" And he said to me, "My church is moving from denominationalism to apostleships." From that, we had a gathering of International Coalition of Apostolic Leaders, which is all of the approved apostolic leaders. And this was on their website. It says this in excitement: "The second apostolic age," meaning we had the first one, right, with Matthew and John and Peter and, you know, the apostles that Jesus appointed. Well, the second apostolic age began roughly in 2001. And I'm sorry if I don't mean to be overly sarcastic, but how lucky are we, right? Sorry. "The second apostolic age began roughly in 2001, heralding the most radical change in the way church is done since the Protestant Reformation. This new apostolic reformation embraces the largest segment of non-Catholic Christianity worldwide and is the fastest growing." That's alarming to me. NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, presents itself as the truest and most biblical expression of Christianity. They see themselves not only as just a movement, but as the future of the Christian church. It claims to be a global move of God ushering a new era of revival, characterized by new prophecies, abounding miracles, healings, supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, and bringing of heaven to earth. And again, the core claim is that we're going from denominationalism, meaning we should no longer be Baptist or all of those things, which we can argue the sense of we don't want a divided church. But their answer is we're moving from denominationalism, and everybody get on board and align yourself is one of the key words that they use to say be submissive to or fall in line with. Align yourself with an apostle, an approved apostle. So the core claim is that the church today must be governed by modern-day prophets and apostles. The apostles are the ones who possess the extraordinary authority and are going to cast vision for the church. They're receiving word from God. They've been given this apostleship from God, just like in the first apostolic age, meaning their words carry an authority because they are able to say, God told me. And then we have prophets, and these prophets are bringing new and fresh revelations, partnering with these apostles, and their new revelations are what the church requires to advance God's kingdom. So those missing pieces and why our churches are so dead. At the forefront of the research and the whistleblowing, so to speak, on some of the red flags of this movement are Holly Pivek and Douglas Givett. They have written a book called, Counterfeit Kingdom. The book Counterfeit Kingdom examines the doctrines and the practices of this new apostolic reformation. And they say, the book argues that the NAR distorts the gospel, meaning it does present another gospel at its core. It twists the scriptures, and it incorporates elements of New Age practices, meaning there's such a highlight on experiences that they are even having Christian versions of tarot cards that some of them, and again, not all of them, but they're so hungry to hear from God beyond his word that they're coming up with all kinds of ways to receive anointing and to hear from God and to stir up these emotions of people who will then be praying for these miracles and these visions and these experiences. And they're bringing in New Age practices. And ultimately, it is shipwrecking the faith of many. So I have a free admission for you up front. I was having a really hard time organizing this sermon. I knew that was going to be one of my challenges coming in, trying to do topical one-off sermons on these huge topics, that there are weekend conferences and hours long debates and all kinds of things and many resources, so many quotes, so many different stances. How to present that in a Sunday where we also have communion happening. So this is maybe one of my more unpolished sermons that I'm going to be bringing you, but as I present this, I pray that you will, with a soft heart, kind of just be aware. And I also want to acknowledge that I came upon this realization too late, that a sermon critiquing a movement for twisting the scriptures is not using as much scripture to defend my positions as I probably should. I apologize for that, but hopefully we are aware enough of our scriptures that I'm not going to systematically go through and defend all of these things. Hopefully you understand the scriptures enough by this point to see why these are red flags. But if you have more concerns and questions, again, I commend the book to you that does more systematically go through these things and so many other resources. GotQuestions.org has a lot of good resources on this movement, but I apologize that I'm not systematically and exegetically going through each point with a biblical counterpoint, and I probably should have. I apologize for that ahead of time, but the week was not long enough to put all that together. So I was having a really hard time organizing this sermon until I came across a conference titled Another Gospel that was held, and one of the speakers there was a man named Kosti Hinn. And if any of you are familiar with Kosti Hinn, it is the nephew of famous progressive gospel specialist Benny Hinn, if you know anything of him. Kosti Hinn is someone that came out of the prosperity gospel circles and is preaching a full, true gospel. And he, a few years ago, presented a talk, because it was at a conference, not a sermon, but a talk highlighting the differences between the Protestant Reformation and the New Apostolic Reformation. And for me, I was able to synthesize a lot of my desires to communicate within his framework. So we are going to go through his framework with my my additions and organization. But we are going to go through four marks of reliable Reformation, hearkening to the Protestant Reformation, and four marks of reckless Reformation, and how they line up as counterparts, meaning how this isn't likened to the Protestant Reformation. In fact, it is in contrast to what happened at the Protestant Reformation. So let's put this Reformation into perspective. Martin Luther was not a perfect man, nor were any of the leaders of the Protestant Reformation. However, in that season of church history, a Reformation was needed. So he nailed his 95 thesis 500 years ago, give or take, on October 31st, 1517, to the door of the church. He wanted simply to start a conversation. The way church was being presented, led by, yes, the authority of Scripture, but co-led by the authority of the Pope, who is telling the people who were illiterate in the Bible what the Bible said. And it had gotten so misunderstood as they were selling indulgences and different things that Luther needed to confront this. And so it resulted in a major Reformation. And out of this major Reformation came the five solas. And solas is just these Latin phrases that came out of this Reformation that summarized the core beliefs or the reform that took place out of the Protestant Reformation. And that was sola scriptura, meaning this is the only authority, the Bible, the scriptures, the holy sacred writings that God has given us and supernaturally preserved for our reading, sola scriptura, scripture alone. Sola gratia, or grace alone. We are saved by grace alone through the cross of Jesus Christ. Sola fide, or faith alone, and Christ alone, and to God be the glory alone. These phrases all highlight the Protestant understanding of salvation and the authority of Scripture, and they were contrasted to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church at that time. So now, with those five solas in mind and the need for Reformation at that time, compare it to the climate of what is happening today and the results of today's Reformation. So a lot of today's Reformation can be tied back to a movement that began with C. Peter Wagner, whose core teaching centered around this idea of the New Apostolic Reformation, which emphasized the restoration of the offices of apostle and prophet in the contemporary church. He believed these leaders, apostle and prophet, alongside, and he would say alongside, but there was definitely a hierarchy, even being called apostle as A, prophet as B, and teachers and evangelists as that C level in the church as far as authority goes. So he believed these leaders, alongside evangelists, pastors, and teachers, form a strategic leadership structure for advancing God's kingdom on earth. Wagner also promoted the idea of gaining dominion over various societal spheres like business, government, media, dominion over these through the influence of kingdom-minded believers. So he started schools to train up apostles. In these schools, you simply had to pay the tuition, and you would, through taking these classes, wield miraculous gifts of prophecy and healing so you could pay to become an apostle. And from this came fivefold ministry and the seven mountain mandate, which again, I don't have time today to go into, but those are our verbiage that comes out of this apostolic Reformation. So without further ado, I want to get into some of the marks of the Protestant Reformation and some of the marks of this New Apostolic Reformation and where we see red flags, or where we should see some red flags. Mark number one of a reliable Reformation. Authority is given to Scripture alone, right? In the Protestant Reformation, the church was called back from traditions having authority and the Pope's words having authority, and all of those misteachings based on those traditions, they were called back to Scripture. The authority was placed back in the holy sacred writings of Scripture. And here's what happened. As that became the focus, as Martin Luther says, let's engage with what the word actually says. Let's empower the people themselves to read the word, to hold teachers accountable to what they're teaching and practicing. As things focused, and I want us to hear this, as things focused more clearly on what Scripture teaches, the shape of the gospel became clearer. That's kind of an aha, duh moment, right? As you read the Bible, the gospel becomes clearer. As you saturate yourself in the Scriptures, these holy writings that claim to be inspired by God, the shape of the gospel of grace and the true doctrines of the Bible become clearer and clearer by faith alone, through Christ alone, by grace alone, to the glory of God alone. The deeper people dug into the word, the more sound the doctrines of the gospel became. Again, not saying it was perfect, but that is a mark of a real reformation or a reliable reformation. Narr, on the other hand, the New Apostolic Reformation, a reversal of the Protestant Reformation has occurred. It's a counter of that. There is a new era where now we have modern-day apostles and prophets that have authority alongside Scripture, that are giving fresh new revelations, right? It's reinstituting another man with authority, just like the Pope, that the Protestant Reformation was seeking to undo. With this, and again, see the clear connection and let this click. As you introduce teachers with authority giving fresh revelations, the shape of the gospel and the true doctrines of the Bible will inevitably get cloudier and cloudier and dimmer as they claim we need more revelation. We need extra revelation. Let us help you understand the Bible correctly. It is through God's word that he speaks. We look into Scripture to hear God's voice. That's what the Protestant Reformation was saying. On the other hand, the New Apostolic Reformation says it is through modern-day apostles and prophets that God is clearly speaking. One of the ways we see this is through the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation is a translation that was brought about through this movement by a man named Brian Simmons, not by a team of scholars, one man who had a vision from Jesus Christ and a visitation from an angel named Passion, who commissioned him to write this new translation that many NAR churches use. And this says, it claims it's titled the Passion Translation, and it is at best a paraphrase. It is at best a paraphrase where someone is trying to give their words to what the Bible says rather than a direct translation. So it is at best a paraphrase, and it is at worst an attempt to indoctrinate into a certain worldview and understanding of Scriptures as it adds NAR doctrines and ideologies all throughout this Bible. That Brian Simmons claims the Lord said, I need to do this so the church has a correct understanding of the Bible. Is that alarming? It should be to us, and yet this is, I mean, when we talk about Bethel Church and Bethel music, it's fast growing, and it's so exciting for young believers who are naive in the faith to be wrapped up into all of these things because God is really moving. But is he? Is that really what's happening? Or is this more akin to Joseph Smith and the angel that visited him and told him to rewrite Scripture that has become, after hundreds of years, the Mormon faith? Bill Johnson. So Bill Johnson is the pastor / apostle of Bethel Church, again. And listen to some of the words that he says as he's instructing his congregation. Jesus did not say, my sheep will know my book. It's his voice that we should know. Is that a red flag to anyone? when he says, Jesus didn't say, my sheep shall know my book. Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. We as a church need to not be so tied down to the book if God wants to be giving his voice in other ways in our lives. Bill Johnson also says this, we've gone as far as we can with our present understanding of Scripture. It's time to let signs have their place. This new apostolic reformation, signs, miracles, healings, all to give proof to these apostles having this authority. Where over and over, God spoke to me. I had a dream and God clearly said to me, this is dangerous culture within a church because it's moving away from what is written. And when you move away from what is written, the gospel gets cloudy and doctrines grow dimmer and dimmer. So Mark 1, authority given to Scripture alone is reliable reformation versus it's through modern day apostles and prophets where God is clearly speaking and giving us new translations of the Bible and letting his voice truly be heard. With this, it's open season on people who are illiterate of Scripture. They say, listen to the voice of the Lord from within. And you will have yourself talk to you when that's the case, or a very charismatic leader. But John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Chris Valatton, who is the prophet that has joined himself to, I'm blanking on the name now, to Bill Johnson at Bethel Church. So Bill Johnson can be considered the apostle, and Chris Valatton can be considered the prophet that goes along partnering, leading Bethel Church. Valatton says this, the Lord also told me, so again, direct quotes from the Lord, on par with Scripture, I am about to open up the vaults of heaven and reveal depths of my glory that have never before been seen or understood by any living creature. He explained that this glory was going to be revealed to and through his church. How? How is he going to reveal all of this glory and all of this never before seen or understood by any living creature? It's through his church. But how specifically? Through the words of modern-day prophets and apostles. Then he stated, meaning the Lord, stated, if I pour out this new revelation into the wineskin of denominationalism, meaning the way we currently do church, so to speak, with all these denominations, if I pour out this new revelation into the wineskin of denominations, it will rip the wineskin and the wine will be lost. So just as Jesus talked about a new covenant and new wineskin, he is claiming that same verbiage. There is something new that is radical that God is doing, and it needs to be put in new wineskins. And that new wineskin is this second apostolic age where you just need to align yourself with an apostle and a prophet, and you'll be on board with this next season of what God is doing. Just trust us. The Lord told me. Point number two, a reliable reformation will always point back to foundational truths. It's reforming back to foundational truths, not forward into new ambiguous revelations. So the Protestant Reformation had a clear focus on the gospel. You are saved by grace through faith. You are reconciled to God. You are set free, right? The teachings of Romans and Ephesians, the scriptures were the guide, and we were pointed back to clearly identifying these gospel doctrines, foundational truths. Narr, on the other hand, focuses on this new vision and leadership of these apostles and prophets, and on the miracles and signs and new words that are coming, along with these new age practices that highlight all the different ways that we can get words from God. So instead of pointing back to the old rugged cross and the ancient truths that so many in today's church aren't firmly rooted in, These are new ideas, new concepts, new wineskins to fit all of these new ways in. But it's exciting. And it's emotional, right? People don't want to sing old, dreary hymns anymore. They want those choruses that build and build and build and repeat so that you can find God's voice in your heart as you're just listening for him rather than reading and experiencing him in the ancient truths of God's word. So again, these new ways and these new wineskins, I believe, are distracting from the gospel and are focusing on miracles and dominionism and faith as a force. One of the examples of this, as they teach all these things, it's a tragic story, but it's a story that put Bethel and the New Apostolic Reformation on the global map. I don't know if anybody remembers this, but the phrase, "Wake up, Olive," was from this. And it was when a 2-year-old from this church in Bethel tragically passed away. And that is a tragedy, and I don't want to make light of the situation, but Olive's parents did not plan a funeral. They started a movement that they were 100% confident that God was going to resurrect Olive. And so they sent this news worldwide that we're believing for a miracle. We believe a resurrection. Olive's body stayed at the morgue. We believe in a resurrection. God is able to do it. This is the new wine in the new wineskins. This is what God is going to do on day two. Day two is a great day for a miracle, they posted, as they encouraged everyone to make these declarations and these prayers that Olive would rise from the dead. Day three is a great day for a resurrection. It proceeded for over a week before quietly they stopped and planned a funeral service. These are the dangers of this teaching, this emotional high and these signs and wonders and these moving away from the truths rooted in Scripture to these new ways. Through social media, Bethel leaders urge Christians around the world to join the parents in declaring a resurrection because they believed their spoken words as children of God had the power to bring Olive back. So the hashtag #WakeUpOlive went viral. Tens of thousands across the globe joined the chorus of declarations, posting on Facebook and Instagram. It's heartbreaking. But this is where these doctrines and these ideologies lead, and they shipwreck faith. There's ties with the Word of Faith movement where they're making declarations for revivals. And these revivals are always connected to one of their apostles. And there's this deep connection, and I'm still wrestling with this, but there's this deep connection to a lot of the music that is coming out of Bethel and Hillsong and Elevation. And to say those words, because we use some of those songs, but to caution ourselves that these ideologies and these reckless Reformation doctrines aren't creeping into our church. One of the ones that come to mind is Do It Again by Elevation. It talks about the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God, but then as it does this, it builds up to this chorus that says, I've seen you move. You move the mountains. And then it makes the declaration, and I believe I'll see you do it again. And maybe Olive's parents thought, you've done resurrections before, Lord. I've seen you move. You moved the mountains. So I'm going to believe I'll see you do it again. And these songs that push these ideologies, even not overtly but inadvertently using these taglines and these words, have gone global. And we as a church need to be careful and discerning. Again, not looking for something under every rock and just hermiting as Christians, but being discerning, understanding these false teachings and these false prophets and all these things that are leading many astray. We don't want to have naive hearts. And so leave any foothold. Third, highlighting the true Jesus. A reliable Reformation will highlight the true Jesus as the one to whom all of us are submitting to and under. and a true Jesus that is fully God and fully man and able to go to the cross and die for your sins. Again, not making cloudy any of the doctrines that are so core and central to our saving faith. Right? A favorite weapon of our deceiver, our enemy, Satan, is to make cloudy the true identity of Jesus. So the Protestant Reformation sought to give clear identity to who Jesus is and what he did for us, that we might know our salvation is not rooted in all these traditions or all these extra practices or prayers or indulgences or any of that, but our salvation is in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. The New Apostolic Reformation elevates earthly people in leaders and even goes so far, and again, this isn't all within, but a teaching from popping up from within is a kenetiotic Christ, which is Jesus laid aside his divinity wholly when he came to earth. They took the idea of emptying himself from Philippians 2, and he said when Jesus was on earth, he was operating wholly and only as human. He emptied himself of his divinity. And they do this so that you would feel empowered that you can do the same miracles that he did, that you can walk the same that he did. Because after all, he was just a man like we are, operating in right relationship with God and the fullness of the Spirit, abandoning what we believe about Jesus being fully God and fully man. R.C. Sproul puts it this way: his emptying was not laying aside divinity, but he took on that subtraction or that emptying simply by adding, meaning he added humanity, the lowly form of humanity, to his divinity. That's how he lowered himself or emptied himself. He emptied himself by adding the form of humanity. That isn't to be a cloudy doctrine that is meant to empower you to think that you can do the same miracles that Christ did. Some within NAR are claiming this: Jesus did miracles as a man like you and I, a man simply in right relationship to God. That's where from within this movement there are birthing, there are being taught clear gospel distortions, making it another gospel. Mark number 4, simply a hunger for truth. Not a hunger for emotions to be stirred, not a hunger for signs and wonders, not a hunger for new exciting ways, simply a hunger for truth. Core biblical doctrines and practices, the repentance of faith. I think we're in a generation that is a lot of the times biblically illiterate and blissfully ignorant of ways that they are following the whims of emotion and false prophets and false teachers. And we need to, as a church, once again, steel ourselves upon the gospel, the one true gospel of Jesus Christ. That we would not be hearts of naive that are pulled to and fro with exciting doctrines and promises of miracles. I am thankful that we are in a congregation that values the Word of God, that is sensitive to where we see in practice things not lining up with the way God has orchestrated and revealed himself. I want to, and that's not just my job, that's not just the job of the elders, that is the job of all of us, to be sharpening one another, discipling one another, that we can grow in these ancient, beautiful truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation through him. And yes, seeing his move, I believe that there is supernatural when it comes to Christianity. But I think in the hunger and pursuit of those supernatural, many false teachings, many false prophets, many twistings and distortions of doctrines are happening. And we need to be sensitive to that, and we need to be proactive in steeling our minds upon the one true gospel and be able to defend and call out where these red flags are veering left or veering right. So again, I wish I could spend 8 sermons on this, but maybe that would be overkill. That would be overkill probably. but there's so much here, but I wanted to bring to our attention some of these concerns and some of these issues within this fast-growing worldwide movement called the New Apostolic Reformation. And if your curiosity has been piqued, I commend to you the book Counterfeit Kingdom, The Dangers of New Revelation, New Prophets, and New Age Practices Infiltrating the Church. Also, Got Questions and other resources. Alicia Childers has a podcast that has had some really good interviews and resources, interviewing people that have come out of the NAR and some of the things that are actually happening within these churches. So there's tons of resources out there. Let me know. I can give you some links and some other resources if you want. But to that end, let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, you have revealed yourself. And many times and in various ways throughout time, but we know according to Hebrews and according to the New Testament that in these last days, you have revealed yourself through your Son, Jesus. And we have those ancient truths, those gospel doctrines preserved for us in your word. And so, Lord, we want to be a people of the word. We do want to hear your voice. But we want to hear your voice according to the sanctification process of immersing ourselves in your word, which is truth. And knowing Jesus as he is, as you have revealed him through your word. So Lord, let us be a people who knows the one true gospel and is able to identify where counterfeits and dangerous doctrines and practices are happening. I thank you for this people, Lord. I pray that you would protect us, guide us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.